Political correctness, among other things, has intimidated many Americans, causing them to overlook the obvious. Rather than confronting things that we may disagree with, we find ourselves regularly using carefully selected euphemisms to keep from offending minority groups or ethnicities and religions. It's rather reminiscent of the crowds regaling the emperor's new clothes when there really was nothing worthy of praise at all. Among our nation's religious, Islam is practiced by a relatively small number of Americans, and yet, the privilege and protection that Muslims now seem to be enjoying seems to far exceed that of the Christian majority. Now, these are challenging times, and we need to teach our kids how to navigate them effectively. Preparing our kids for a nation of Muslims? Today on Licensed to Parent. Hello and welcome to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential program helping teens in crisis from all around the world. I'm Rich Rosel, here with the host of Licensed to Parent, Trace Embry. And Trace, I mention now teens from all around the world because we have had teens from all around the world here at Shepherd's Hill.
Yeah, 9 other countries.
Absolutely. And outside of the gates of Shepherd's Hill, our communities are really expanding now to include people and cultural influences from all around the world. And in the case of Islam in particular, its presence is being felt in business, education, politics, really all throughout the public square. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that many of our Christian families are all that prepared to deal with the changes that are coming our way in this regard.
Well, Rich, I'm quite sure that most are not, which is why we've invited today's guest back to pick her brain a little bit more.
Absolutely. Samia Johnson is our guest today. She was with us back during the summer, I believe. And Samia was born into a Christian family in Beirut, Lebanon. She accepted Christ herself as a young girl, but then spent many of her school years in the midst of the civil war in Lebanon. And that's where she and her family suffered severe losses, which left her embittered and terrorized. Now, God dealt with that, dealt with her brokenness, and eventually she was able to forgive and even love the Muslims who were considered intolerable enemies throughout her community. Now, through her current ministry called Call of Love, Samia has led many Muslims from all over the Arabic world to the good news of the gospel and has also helped disciple them as followers of Christ. She now hosts a daily one-minute radio program called Dare to Ask and also a 30-minute weekly television program called Dare to Love. Her work both on and off of these programs is being used to train and educate the Western Church about Islam and how to reach Muslims. And with that, we are pleased to welcome Samia Johnson back to Licensed to Parent.
Samia, welcome to the broadcast. God bless you for coming on.
Thank you for having me again.
Well, I know Rich has mentioned a little bit about your background, but for those who didn't hear the first program, refresh our memories a little bit about where you've come from and how you came to write about the Islamic faith.
Well, as you know, most of the Arabic countries have minority Christian communities in them, but Lebanon was different. Back in the 1970s and 60s, the Christian population was 70% of the total, like 4 million. But after 1975, the civil war ended in 1989, but then there were other battles as well. Now, the population of Christians is only 30% because of immigration, because they've been killed, and because of more Muslims, Palestinians, Syrians, coming and living in Lebanon. Mm. So for 15 years or more, when I lived in the civil war, I never saw a Muslim. Muslims for us were scary enemies. Although I was a true Christ follower, I kept a small, dark room in my heart, and I tucked in it all the hatred and bitterness and fear of the Muslims.
Hmm. Well, Samia, I'm going to ask you a difficult question here. There are a lot of American citizens who, because of political correctness, perhaps prejudice, ignorance, are afraid to ask you what I'm about to ask you, okay? But
come on.
Here we go.
Bring it on.
What assurance can you offer the American public that you haven't fabricated your story, that you aren't working for ISIS or Al-Qaeda? Because to be frank, if I headed a terrorist organization, I'd be doing something very similar to what you're doing right now to gain the confidence of the American people, particularly the Christian infidel.
Wow, thank you for this question. This is something I deal with every time I meet new Christians, I visit a new church. People don't spell it out, but I see it in their eyes, brother.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay? I spelled it out, didn't I?
Yes. Let me give you a background a little bit about the Christian Arab. Most Christian Arabs have never been Muslims before. When Islam invaded our countries, right after Muhammad died in the 7th century, they took over all the Arabic countries, North Africa, Turkey, and eventually Jerusalem and all these areas. And they gave the Christians and the Jews one of three options: either to convert to Islam or pay a high jizya penalty amounting to 90% of the gross annual income of the family, or be killed, or of course leave the area. But where would they leave? Because all the surrounding area was controlled by Muslims. So many, many Christians and Jews were butchered and killed, total villages. Those who were able to live on the 10% of the gross annual of their gross annual income, they lived as third-class citizens. They didn't have any rights. They would not be hired in the government or be soldiers or anything, but they were able to keep their faith. These are the remnants that continued in that area. And my family and my husband's family, he's from Egypt, all our background, we never were Muslims. Why I am not part of ISIS or anything like that, I don't think ISIS will function in this way, because I've been here in the U.S. for 15 years. We have our citizenship. We always ask people, please do a background check on us. Please, all our finances are open in the ministry so that you know where every dollar is going. Also, I believe when you meet a person one-on-one, you would know if this person is an authentic Christian, if God has given them favor and opened ministry areas or not. I wouldn't think an ISIS person would go to Syrian refugees who are Muslims in Lebanon or Jordan and tell them about Jesus. And we rejoice when they become Christians and we disciple them. This is not how ISIS functions. Sure. ISIS is out there in the open, and they have the courage to show their enmity and hatred, because this is part of the reward that they will get if they show us that they hate us and they want to kill us.
Well, since we last...
I hope this answers your question.
Yeah, I think so. The only question I would have is why, for so many years, centuries, did Islam even allow a remnant of Christianity in their midst?
Believe it or not, even when Muhammad was alive, and that you do not find it in English books, okay, about Islam. Muhammad, sometimes when he needed the finances for his battles, he encouraged Christians and Jews to stay in their own faith so that he can collect the jizya. The jizya tax from them, because he needed the money. And this is in the history of Islam. It's not something I'm making up.
Sure. No, basically just using the freedom they have to go into the enterprise system and make money.
And they needed the revenue from the Christians and the Jews because, you know, that what their government depended on. Most Jews and Christians were very wealthy because they worked hard and they owned a lot of property and orchards.
Well, since we last talked, ISIS went from a JV squad in the eyes of our president to basically taking over the country of Iraq and terrorizing
the
world. Heads are being cut off, not just over there, but right here in America. Can parents be assured that their kids are going to be protected by the American government in their schools or even on the streets?
Well, my answer is not very encouraging, because when ISIS is speaking to individuals through media, how can you know where these young people are in the progress of turning to become terrorists? This is not a thing that we can control here if we don't understand the mindset of the Muslims, and if we don't know that they are willing to die and sacrifice everything for the cause of Allah, because they are living in fear. What our responsibility is, and believe me, this is the only wonderful thing we can do as true Christ followers in this country, is to reach every Muslim, every ethnic people, every person, young person who is lost, reach them with the gospel message. Because once they have hope, when they have direction in their lives, they wouldn't want to fill their lives with all these acts of terror. Mm-hmm. Most of these people who are doing acts of terror in Europe here, they are looking for a cause to follow. And if the church does its job here, I believe it's not the government's responsibility. I believe it's our responsibility.
Absolutely, and we dropped the ball.
Because we are the light, and we are the salt who can preserve from more evil in the world.
Well, you know, you said they're willing to die, but they're actually willing to kill as well for their faith.
Yes.
So how should...
The more they kill, the better before they die.
Right. So how should parents then, if the government's not going to help us out here, how should parents best equip their kids to deal with this Islamic invasion without looking like they're, some knuckle-dragging right-wing extremists themselves?
Yes. The first thing I want to encourage the parents is we don't want the spirit of fear to control us, mm-hmm. because this is not from God, okay?
Right.
We should not allow fear to control us. And the second thing is no harm will come to our kids or to us without the permission of God. I'm not saying that he causes it, but God is not caught by surprise if an ISIS person comes and kills my daughter, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
He is still in control, okay? And what we need to do is to raise the awareness, even with our children, talk to them about these things, because our children are very intelligent and they're engaged in social media. They know what's going on. We need to explain to them truths about Islam that our schools do not teach, so that if they are bombarded by media from ISIS or someone in their school, a teacher who is teaching them something that is a watered-down version of Islam, they can think for themselves and they will know the truth.
Well,
if we know the truth, it will set us free.
That's exactly right. But to keep parents informed and on their toes, just how infiltrated is our higher education system and government when it comes to a covert Islamic agenda, or even our high schools?
Oh, I can't start to open this can, you know. I was just in Maryland recently, and one of the mothers told me her seventh grade daughter, the World Religion, the book, Christianity was a few pages, Hinduism a few pages, Islam was half the book.
Uh-huh.
And it talked about all the beauty of Islam, the tenets of Islam, the pillars of Islam, how you can become a Muslim. So Muslims are infiltrating in our schools and colleges in a very, very intelligent, sneaky way so that they can impact our kids.
Yeah.
Our daughter told us, Mom, if I haven't been raised in your family with, you know, listening to the seminars and going with you on mission trips and knowing what true Islam is, I would have thought that Islam is so beautiful, it's even better than Christianity, because they only talk about the Crusades in Christianity. They never talk about how Islam spread and is still spreading through the sword and killing.
And reminding these kids that the Crusades were the illogical outworking of the Christian faith. It was congruent with the faith of Islam.
Yes, and these people who were doing the Crusades, they were not following the teachings of Jesus.
That's exactly my point.
While Muslims were following the teachings of their prophet,
Muhammad.
That's
exactly my point. You're exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Trace, I know you have often been, you continue to be an advocate of finding alternatives to the public school system for our kids, either homeschooling or perhaps private Christian school. What are your thoughts on this? Do we need to be doing a better job of isolating at younger ages? Or?
I think at younger ages, yes, I really do. But I do think that we're forced into a situation where we are going to have to tell our kids much earlier in life than in generations past about the deeper issues of life and the complications of life that have come along in our digital age. And again, we're forced into that. But I think our kids do need to have these conversations with their parents, and it needs to start sooner than later.
Right. Our guest today on Licensed to Parent is Samia Johnson, author of the book The Simple Truth, The Quran, and the Bible Side by Side. You can find that book and her other resources and learn more about her outreach to the Muslim world at Call of Love Ministries' website, which is calloflove.org. We'll be back with more conversation right after this. You're listening to Licensed to Parent.
It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face to face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly two decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting LicensedToParent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. Click on the family coaching banner at LicensedToParent.org.
Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org.
Welcome back to Licensed to Parent with our guest today, Samia Johnson, author of the book The Simple Truth, The Quran and the Bible Side by Side. Again, she heads up an organization called Call of Love Ministries. You can find more about her resources and her ministry at calloflove.org.
Well, Samia, in light of a new independent approach to homegrown terror, do you have anything you can offer parents or their kids by way of comfort or preparation?
I believe we're coming to a period in this country and in any Western country where we will be living on the edge and where we will be experiencing what the Christians in Islamic countries have been living under for 14 centuries. And we need to get ready for that. We need to trust the Lord more and teach our children that protection is from the Lord, and that we need to stay closer to the Lord, who will be the source of the peace in their lives. I know I lived for 15 years in war zones and in battles, even street battles, and I know what my parents taught me. Psalm 91 was something that we repeated over and over again, the stories of Jesus and the Old Testament and God's protection for his people. This should be our anchor in a troubled world, whether we have ISIS trying to, you know, destroy our country, or whether drunk drivers, or whether Ebola.
Right.
So we have to address these fears in the lives of our children and teach them more how to trust the Lord and have him as their anchor.
Well, that's the backbone of what we do here at Shepherd's Hill Academy. It's the backbone of what we do here at Licensed to Parent. And I'm glad that you gave us an answer like that, because listeners, that is the answer to a lot of this. All of it is just bringing everything back to Christ, the gospel, the truth of God and His Word.
Amen.
I know as Christians particularly, we want to love all people, Muslims included, but where does the balance between love and protection for our kids and love and suspicion of our Islamic citizens,
friends and neighbors,
come into play?
Yeah.
I mean, where's the balance? You know, is not mildly offending for the sake of wildly defending a smart thing?
I like this question and the way you put it. We had to deal with the same thing when we came here to the U.S. because we saw a different version of Islam that is beautiful from the outside, that mm-hmm. is diluted, and you couldn't sometimes know whether the Muslim in front of you is a devout Muslim, which equals the radical Muslim, by the way,
yeah.
or a nominal, just cultural Muslim. And my husband and I had to pray a lot and deal with this. What really helped us is to differentiate between Islam as the ideology and the religion and the political agenda, and Muslims who are the followers of Islam. Let me just point out that maybe 10% of the Muslims are true, devout, extreme Muslims. And these are the ones who have the anti-Western message. They don't like this country, but still they're living in it because it's a better quality of life for
them.
And
that still equates to multiplied millions.
Definitely. If we have 10 to 15 million Muslims in this country, this means we have a million people who do not like us.
Right.
What I have come to peace with is it needs to be on a personal level. If, you know, we get to know a Muslim family, we need to ask the right questions. We need to talk about religion, and they will not be offended. We need to ask them questions about whether they pray daily five times, whether they go to the mosque, what do they think of this country, and we need to listen to them. We might be able to get some nuggets from them about where they are in their belief system as people. So before we allow our children to befriend Muslim families, we have to get to know the parents as well. Let me give you one example. There's a local pastor who allowed his three kids, to be friends with many Muslim friends. And one day, after a few months, one of his kids came back and said, "Dad, may I become a Muslim?" Because he did not address Islam, what is true Islam, and he allowed his children to play with these kids. So I'm not saying don't allow your kids to play with Muslim kids, because we need to reach them with the message of Christ. But we need to be wise and careful at the same time,
sure.
and ask the right questions.
And something that we have talked about a lot is, and this is even among Christian families, don't just set your kids loose to go out and do whatever, wherever else. As you are trying to monitor and nurture these relationships, have the friends over. But that's the key. Have the friends over. You have them into your home where you're able to watch and guide and counsel, as opposed to just saying, oh, sure, you can go out and play, and then you have no idea what indoctrination may be happening.
What is attracting so many young people to Islam here in America? I mean, my take on it is, like gangs, Islam brings into the equation clear-cut boundaries.
And this is what some of our young people are looking for.
Exactly. And we're so afraid as Christians to be legalists about our faith that sometimes... Well, you know, Christianity runs the whole spectrum from liberal to conservative. I suppose that's like any faith. But why is it, if it's not just boundaries and...
it's accountability as well.
Something, accountability. But it's also, I think, it gives an opportunity for, particularly for the radical sect, to vent their carnal frustrations. I mean, you're basically allowed... if you're frustrated about life or your circumstances in your professional career, or maybe you've been bullied in school, Christianity says you got to love those bullies. Islam says kill them.
yes, kill them, and it gives you the right to do that. You won't feel guilty about it. And who is converting to Islam? Young men in prison,
right?
Who are looking for
captive audiences,
something to belong to. They're looking for an identity. People who have had broken families or bad experiences in cult churches.
Right.
You know, they call themselves Christians, but they're not.
Right.
And also women who fall in love with Muslim men and then they have to convert so that they don't lose their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Also divorced women. They tell them, oh, we'll find you a husband. You don't have even to work. We provide a place for you to live and you will just enjoy raising your kids. But just convert. So these are the people who are converting, whom maybe we are not doing a good job reaching in our churches. And you are right, when our churches do not put boundaries, you can have young people come and visit a church for a year and no one would embrace them and help them in their walk with the Lord.
Right.
So maybe we are being very politically correct in a way, or we don't want to offend people. We want them to keep coming to our churches, mm-hmm. although their lives are not being changed.
I tell you, our time is up for today. Samia, I would love it if you would join us again on our next program and we can continue our conversation. Would that be acceptable?
That would be an honor.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Incidentally, let me mention once again Samia's book. Samia Johnson is our guest. She's author of the book, The Simple Truth, The Quran and the Bible Side by Side. If our conversation today and the one that we had last summer is intriguing to you and you would like to find out more about how to discuss the Islamic faith with Muslims, about how to see where Christianity and Islam might line up, where they differ, this is a book that would be a great resource for you, The Simple Truth, The Quran and the Bible Side by Side. It's available from Call of Love Ministries at callofloveorg. And this is Licensed to Parent. We are the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long Christ-centered residential program just north of Atlanta, Georgia, helping teens in crisis. And you can learn more at licensedtoparent.org. By the way, if you feel that you and your family could benefit from some one-on-one parenting help, let me recommend the Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching Program that comes alongside to provide help and guidance with the issues that might be challenging your family. Again, you can learn more and get connected at our website, licensedtoparent.org. And finally, please remember that our residential ministry to teens and our broadcast outreach to parents both cost a bit of money. During the holidays, when you may possibly be spending some time with your family, I ask that you remember the kids and the families involved here for whom Christmas may not be normal. There are a lot of families who need our help, but we simply can't reach out to all of them due to limited space and limited resources. If you could help defray some of those costs by providing care through a tax-deductible donation of any size, we would be very grateful. You can give securely online, once again, at our website, licensedtoparent.org. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, inviting you back again next time to renew your License to Parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else or something else will. God bless you. See you next time.